Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to stand in a sacred place one more time. For so many years, I have stood in this same spot and preached to many of these same people. Many times before, you've anointed and you've touched and blessed the Word of God. And I ask you, O Lord, this morning that you would move upon us with holy fervor and that the anointing of the Spirit of God would rest upon us as we open the pages of your holy book. O God, open our hearts of understanding and open our minds' eyes that we may see today the spiritual truths that you have for us to glean from these passages and glean from this preaching event. Touch us, O Lord, for except you touch us, we cannot preach. The word cannot go forth. The people cannot be blessed. But God, if you will touch us, then we will hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been preaching for quite a number of weeks now about don't waste your grace. That passage, the anchor passage, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he said, I'm striving and working so that I will not have believed in vain. Another rendition of that verse says, I refuse to waste my grace. I refuse to let my grace go unnoticed and unused. God has given to every person in this house a measure of grace. God has given to us that wonderful thing called peace that passes all understanding. Throughout this discussion, we've been talking about how that the attributes of God are linked together. The peace, the mercy, the joy, faith and hope, all of those things are linked together with his grace. For where you find grace, you'll find all of the other attributes too. Where you find faith, you'll find grace. Where you find grace, you'll find faith. And where you find faith and grace, you'll find hope and you'll find peace, because they all go together. They're in the list of attributes of our God. I'm glad our God is a merciful God, aren't you? And I'm so glad that he is gracious, and I'm glad that he's loving, and I'm glad that he is kind. You know, today is the 11th day of the 11th month, or yesterday was the 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th hour, when the cessation of hostilities was ended through an armistice that was signed by proper individuals ending the war with Germany. That day has come to be called Veterans Day. Amen. And all of you veterans that are present today, we're so proud of you and proud of the service that you rendered to this country. Could we just give all of them a real good hand clap of appreciation today? I'm glad our country has put aside a day to honor veterans. Amen. At the close of the service this morning, we're going to play every branch of the Armed Forces song, and we're going to come up and let our guys stand up front, and we're going to let them know that we appreciate all of them and our girls too, not just guys but girls too, that let them know that we appreciate them. There are veterans of another sort that are sitting all around you also. There are people that have been involved in another struggle that has existed for thousands of years. It's between good and evil, right and wrong, light and dark, God and the devil. And we're involved in that conflict, as it is called, the conflict. We're created by God to worship. But there is an adversary that the Bible calls in 1 Peter, our adversary, the devil. And he walks about seeking whom he may destroy and devour. Jesus called him a murderer. Jesus called him a thief and a robber. Jesus called him a son of perdition. He once led a rebellion against God and was cast out of heaven. His role is to instigate and stir up all kinds of strife and enmity and variance and emulation against God. He is at war with the people of God, which is called the church. The ecclesia, the called out ones, those that are called out and are born anew and are new creatures in Christ Jesus and are washed in the blood, have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are taunted by a spiritual enemy that we call our adversary, the devil. He uses many, many tools. And there are veterans here that are sitting around that can name those tools. Discouragement is a tool that he uses to steal your peace and rob you of your joy. Amen. There are so many others: sorrow, grief, despair, depression, anxiety, fear, worry, doubt. All of those are tools in the devil's arsenal that he uses against us to take away our peace, to take away your hope, to take away your contentment in God. And I want to talk to you this morning about how you can have peace with God through the blood of his cross. Brother Mark yesterday taught us in the study with the men in the breakfast yesterday morning about the peace of God. And he said there is a difference in having peace with God and the peace that God gives. Peace with God and the God of peace. I'm so glad our God is a God of peace. In fact, the Bible said there is no contention about him, and there is no variance and no shadow of turning, but our God said, I am the Lord and I change not. He said, I am the Lord. The great scripture in Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's a God of peace. And he gives peace to those people that pursue after him and pursue after righteousness. Pursue after righteousness. We've talked for several weeks about how God gives special grace. I want to talk to this morning for a few minutes about grace that God gives us when there is no peace. Is there anybody in this house can lift your hand and say, there have been times in my life when there was no peace? There have been times in my family when there was no peace. There have been times in my business when there was no peace. There have been times in my church when there was no peace. There have been times in my life when I just didn't have peace. In fact, we often say to people that when we pray, we'll say, well, I prayed until I got peace about it. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, I really read and studied the Word of God until I really found the answer, and I finally got peace about that. There's a peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. There is a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. There's a place that you can habitate in God, that you can feel so secure in him that there is a peace, an abiding peace that he gives you that lets you face tomorrow because of the peace that you have in your heart. But that adversary of ours, that old slimy slew foot, tries his best to steal that from you. And all of us have confessed there have been times in my life when I really just didn't have peace. Romans 16 and 20, Paul closed the letter out by saying, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So whatever you're going through, until God bruises his head, until God seals his doom, until God handles him finally, for all of time, there's grace that is given to you until that time comes. Wow. Until God does what he's going to do with the devil. You know, I tell some people sometimes, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Tell him about his future. For if you read in the book of Revelation in the 20th chapter, you'll find an angel descending down from God out of heaven. And he laid hold upon that old dragon, the Bible said, and put him in the bottomless pit and sealed it and swore 1,000 years of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But until that time comes, God's grace is given to you. When you go through those times, that peace you just cannot find. When you go through those times when your life is shattered, and when your world just collapses at your feet, and you don't know what you're going to do. It's tough then to say, I feel the peace of God in my heart. But if you'll just search around, you'll find out that God's peace doesn't leave you just because of what's going on around you. You'll find out that the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said that he may abide with you forever. Oh, things around you may get tough. Circumstances may be hard. Situation may be tough and difficult, but the Holy Spirit never leaves you when those times come. He never abandons you. He never walks out on you. Hey, in fact, he just turns up the intensity of ministry in your life. In fact, you're going to find out before this message is over that the peace of God is administered to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. I said the peace of God is administered to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you got him? I said, have you got him? If you've got him, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That if you've got the Holy Spirit, then you've got peace available. Now, whether you take advantage of it or not, that's up to you. But it's available. Hey, the water's in the well, but you've got to lower the bucket. Come on, somebody. God's got it if you want it. God's available if you'll seek him. God said, I will draw near, but you initiate it. Draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh to you. Amen. It's something that you've got to want. When you need peace, peace is available to you through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Job declared in Job 14:1 that life comes under the attack of the enemy. He said, a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Could I tell you that trouble does not absent itself from you just because you're a Christian? Trouble doesn't see your no trespassing sign. Worry and doubt and anxiety pays no attention to your do not disturb sign on the door. The devil doesn't know about that sign you got out there that says posted, no trespassing. He just violates that and walks right on in. In fact, there are times when troubles mount up in our life. There are times when it seems like, Don texted me this week, he said, when it rains, it pours. There are just times in your life that one circumstance right after another, and you experience what Paul said. I was given a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That means blow after blow after blow. You get up from one blow, you get hit with another blow. Somehow life is like that. Sometimes when you think that it's got to be getting better, someday the worst of it all will just hit you right in the face. Sometimes you deal with issues that you just don't know the answer to. And I want to tell you, it's easy at that time to give into your flesh and worry and fear and have doubt and frustration and faltering faith. Amen. You'll get to a place where you'll start thinking some things, and it'll get in your mind and it'll get in your heart. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your song and lose your worship and lose your praise and lose your connection. Amen. Because you're spending so much time worrying about a situation or a matter that you just can't resolve on your own. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a way to get past that. There's a way you can deal with that. And God has provided a way that you can get peace about things in the midst of a storm. You mean, Pastor, there's a way that you can have peace when the wind is out of control and raging, when lightning's flashing and thunder is rolling, when the waves are unruly and troubled? You mean there's a time when you can have peace with God in the middle of that? In Psalm 29:11, the Bible said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Oh, isn't that good news? I said, isn't that good news? Oh, I'm not here to preach about how bad the devil is. I'm here to preach this morning about how good God is. That no matter what the devil does and what the devil says, no matter what kind of seeds he sows, God has said, I will bless my people with strength and peace. I will give them peace in the midst of it all. I will give them a tranquility and a contentment that will embrace them and give them hope. Brother, when you've got peace, you've got hope. They go together. They're cousins. They go together. You see, we're living in a world that is really toxic with all kinds of fear and fright and frustration. We all were appalled last Sunday when we saw how a devilish, evil-minded person walked into a house of worship and killed so many people. We're living in a dangerous world. This Bible that I preach out of says, in the last days perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves and not lovers of God, despisers of those that are good, fierce, incontinent. Wow, the list just keeps on going, describing what our culture is going to be like. And you can almost pick up the newspaper and the Bible and read synonymously as it unfolds. What are you saying, pastors? Then surely we must be living in those days that the Bible described as last days. And you can do any one of several things. You can draw up in your little cave and get in your little cocoon and be so fearful and frightened and frustrated that you won't make a move. Or you can go on and have the peace of God. I said, you can go out and have the peace of God. I said, you can go on and have the peace of God. For you see, if you've got the peace of God, you know that no evil shall come nigh thy dwelling. If you've got the peace of God, then you know that no weapon that the enemy shall fashion against you will prosper. Hey, I've got news for you. I'm not going to go one day before God gets ready for me to go. Satan can't kill me. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can kill me until God gets ready for me. The doctor can't even pronounce me dead if God's not through with me. You see, oh, hallelujah. When you've got peace with God, you know in whom you have believed. When you've got peace with God, you won't be afraid of getting up every day. When you've got peace with God, you know that everything is under God's control, that nothing happens without Him. I said, nothing happens without Him. There's not a wave that rolls up on the beaches of our shores without the Father's permission. There's not a ray of sunshine that shines without the Father's permission. There's not a breath of wind that blows without His knowledge about it. In fact, the Bible said, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without Him. Hallelujah. Well, if He is so in charge, and He has charge over us. In fact, the Bible said He had assigned His angels concerning you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. My Lord, if angels are taking care of us, and our Heavenly Father is watching over us, His eye is over the righteous, the Bible said. His ear is cupped to their cry. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Then why do we have all of this frustration and fear and anxiety? As David said, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Brother, if we can hope in God, we can have peace. I said we can have peace. I said we can have peace. Pastor Green said this yesterday morning, said every night when I go to bed, I quote a psalm. It's in Psalm 4 and 8. It said, I will both lay me down and sleep with peace. I will both lay me down and sleep with peace, knowing that my God is charged with my safety. Boy, talk about peace of mind. So next time you're laying awake worrying about what you're going to do tomorrow and who said this about you and what you're going to have in that meeting to face, hey, just quote Psalm 4 and 8. I will both lay me down and sleep with peace. Glory to God. Knowing that the God in whom I trust is charged with my safety. That this dwelling in which I live in, my God, is watching over that. You see, there's a vast difference between the peace of God and peace with God. First, it's important for you to know that God is a God of peace. Romans 16 and 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Wow. You mean God is going to bruise the head of Satan under our feet? All I can tell you is what the Word of God says, folks, and it's up on the screen right there. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Why don't you say with me right now, under my feet. What right now is over my head is going to someday be under my feet. What right now is causing me so much distress and so much anguish and so much anxiety is one day going to bother me no more, because the God of peace is going to change this circumstance. The God of peace is going to change the situation. Things that are now bothering me are not going to bother me forever. There's going to come a time when God is going to change the season and God's going to change the situation. There's coming a time when the God of peace is going to take what's worrying me now and put it under my feet and make it as if it never had been. Wow. So it's temporary. Somebody say temporary. It's temporary. It's got a season. It's got an expiration notice. God has put an expiration notice on what's bothering you. God has put a date on it. And he said, after this date, it will not be used anymore. Don't use it anymore. It's expired. It's out of date. Great God, how many of you have lived past the date still worried about something that went out of date a long time ago? Why are you still worrying about it and laying awake at night and fretting and carrying on like you're carrying on over something that God said, why are you carrying on like that? That's already out of date. Hallelujah. You ought to put that behind you. You ought to put that in the past. God has already taken care of it. It's under your feet. If you're looking for it, it's under your feet. Great God. The God of peace is also the God of all grace. No wonder he says to us, be anxious for nothing. No wonder he says for us, don't become weary in well-doing. Lord, that's easy for you to say. Don't get weary in well-doing. That's easy for you to say. Don't get anxious about anything. But God says, if you just knew what I know, that the expiration date, hey, wouldn't it be great for some of you that's worrying with something that the expiration date's today? Wouldn't it be great if the expiration date on what's bothering you was today? Wouldn't it be great that if in this altar, in this church, in this service, that what's bothering you would be expired and out of date? That means it can't hurt you anymore. That means it can't worry you anymore. It can't keep you awake at night anymore. Praise God, it used to be over my head, but thank God now it's under my feet. Blessed be God. Hebrews 13 and 20, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Philippians 4 and 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Romans 15, 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. God wants you to have peace. God doesn't want you to walk around fretting and worried and full of fear and anxiety. Oh, no, he doesn't want that. He wants you to come into his house and sing, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. He wants you to come into his house and see, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the peace that comes by the grace of God. It's the Holy Ghost in your heart and life that administers peace through the power of the shed blood of Jesus. Peace with God. Hey, I saw a little sign the other day. It said, N-O Jesus equals N-O peace. No Jesus, no peace. Underneath it, it said, K-N-O-W, Jesus equals K-N-O-W, peace. Glory to God. If you know Jesus, you know he's the peace speaker. If you know Jesus, you know he's the one that brings peace to the troubled soul. If you know Jesus, you know he's the one that took the burden of sin away. If you know Jesus, you know he's the one that took all of the emotion of guilt and condemnation out of your life when he washed you white as snow. If you know Jesus, you know there's power in the blood. If you know Jesus, you know that it was at Calvary when he paid the price and offered himself up for your peace. In fact, Micah 5 and 5 said, a man shall be for your peace. You know why I've got peace? It's because Jesus came into this world to save sinners. It's because Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, lived an exemplary life, died a sacrificial death, rose a powerful resurrection, and he lives today as the intercessor. Jesus is my peace. He is my peace. Then, oh, weary pilgrim, listen to this pastor. Peace is not a thing. Peace is a person. Peace is not a place. Peace is a person. Wow. I heard a lady talking with me this week that told me about how wonderful it was to be in the mountains, how great it was to just look and not be pressed and not to be told this and that and the other, but just to sit there and be at peace, to be at peace. David said, oh, I wish I knew there was a place where I could find peace, because I'd just flop my wings and fly away if I could find that place. I want to tell you, peace is not a place. It's not located in Gatlinburg. It's not in Palo Alto, California. It's not in Orlando, Florida. No, peace is not a place. But I'll tell you what peace is. Peace is the person of the Lord Jesus. He's God in California. He's God in Oregon. He's God in New York City. He's God in Louisiana. Wherever you go, you'll find him to be faithful. Wherever he is, there's a peace offering for you. It doesn't make it any difference where you are or what company you're with. If you meet the peace speaker, then he can give you peace through the gracious offer of salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus. To know him is to know that he's a peace-giving God. Philippians 4 and 7 talks about this gift. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and keep your mind through Jesus Christ. Peace will keep your heart and peace will keep your mind. Wow. This gift of God's grace is present in a believer's life through the power of the Holy Ghost. It not only is the third gift of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's a peace that is given to us to strengthen us, that we will have hope in time of trouble. Have you ever experienced hopelessness? I had a lady tell me this week, "Pastor, I'm hopeless. I just have lost all my hope." She'd been to the doctor, and the doctor looked her in the eye and said, "You know what's wrong with you?" She said, "What?" "It's hopelessness. You're suffering with hopelessness." You see, no wonder you have no peace. When you lose your hope, you lose your peace. When you lose your ability to go on, then you've lost your peace. God doesn't want you to lose your peace. He wants you to have hope. Hope is a gift of God. 2 John 1:3, "Grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love." Romans 4:14-17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Listen to this one. I love this one. Romans 15:13. Make sure we get that one up there. "Now the God of hope." Pastor, you've been talking about the God of peace, but I told you they go together. Peace and hope are joined together. "The God of hope is also the God of peace. And the God of peace is also the God of all grace." The God of peace is the one who said, "I'm the Lord that healeth thee." The God of peace is the one who said, "I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way." The God of peace is the one that said, "I will always hear your prayer when you pray." The God of peace is the one who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. "Now the God of hope fill you with" how much joy? All joy. The God of hope fill you with all joy. I'm asking a lot of questions this morning. Have you ever lost your joy? Say, "Pastor, there's about 200 folks right here that look like they need a shot of joy, if you got some somewhere. I wish you could bottle that stuff up, don't you? I would sure pass it out." Joy. But you can't bottle it up, because God is the one who fills. Now, when is something filled? Come on, all you women that measure, got your little measuring cups. What happens when something is filled? If it's full, is there room for anything else? No. So if God fills you, the God of hope fills you with all joy, then there's not any room for anything else. Hallelujah. Not just fill you with joy, but when he puts the joy in, it's got a companion. What goes along with the joy of the Lord, that is our strength? Peace. You mean God can fill me up with peace? You mean while he's got me plugged in and filling me up with joy to make me happy, he can also fill me full of confidence that takes away all my fear, all my doubt, and all my worry? But there's a predication upon which he does that. Look at it. He will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him. I wonder if we had a trust meter this morning, what would yours say? 50%? I about half trust him. Kind of like the woman Finchie said, got up to testify, and she said, I won't testify tonight. I'm not ashamed of my Lord. She said, well, maybe just a little bit. What is your trust level? If we could measure your trust level, could you say, I really trust God? Could you say, well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't? Depends on how big the situation is I've got to trust him for. If it's a big one, then I don't have a whole lot. But if it's a little thing, then I got a whole lot. God said, I can fill you, but your trust meter has got to register full. If you fully trust, then I can fully give you peace. If you fully trust, then I can fully give you joy. If you can fully trust me, then I can fully give you all things richly to enjoy. Wouldn't it behoove every one of us if we could move the trust meter just a little bit further? Because the more I trust him, the more I love him, nothing good for me he'll deny. You ever heard that song? The longer I trust him, the longer I serve him, the better I know him. So if we could just move that trust figure. Don't you know God is able? You've heard me sing that 30 years. He's able. He's able. God is able. He'll carry your burdens. Don't you know God is able? He'll be a friend to the friendless, a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. He's joy in your sorrow. Don't you know he's able, able, able to carry you through? If you trust him, that he'll carry you through. If you trust him, that he can fully do what his word says. If you believe fully, then he can fill you fully. Trust in him so that ye may overflow. Am I reading that right? Are y'all seeing what I'm seeing? Because I'm about to shout off the stage. It ain't doing much to you, but buddy, it's doing a whole lot to me. I got to shouting when I found out he'd fill me. But now I've found out he'll overflow me. I found out he'll give me more than enough joy. I found out he'll give me more than enough grace. He'll give me more than enough peace. He'll run me over. My Lord, every one of you ought to have been on your feet said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, did I need to know that? That God will not just fill me full, he'll run me over. That you might have an overflow with hope by the power of what? The Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So God's going to fill me to overflow me by the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you mean God is going to give me peace, a peace overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you mean God's going to give me a joy overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit? My great God, folks, you ought to understand that what God wants to do in you is not just fill you up. He wants to overflow you with joy unspeakable, with peace that passes all understanding. No way you can measure it. Wow. Grace for every need, peace for every contention, joy for every sorrow. What a God we have. Colossians 3 and 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also were called in one body, and be thankful. Be what? I can't hear you. Be what? You see, sometimes when you don't have peace, you stop being thankful. Sometimes when you're struggling and when you're really straining just to put one foot in front of the other and you're nearing that point of hopelessness and your trust meter is reading near empty, it's hard to keep going. Somebody say amen. You've been there, and I have too. Hard to keep going. But he says, by faith, peace with God, the redemptive work of Jesus is going to give you a peace in the midst of your sorrow that passes understanding, that will help you go to the end of that ordeal. Because God doesn't want you to get in the middle and throw in the towel and quit. God don't want you to sit down and sit and soak and sour. He don't want you to just sit back and say, I prayed, but God wouldn't help me. I kept going to the choir and singing for a while, but I eventually got to where I just couldn't do that no more. I used to go up there and pray, but I don't go no more. God don't hear me. God won't help me. You keep acting and thinking and talking like that, and you're going to wind up somewhere on a seat of a scorner. And you're going to be pointing your little finger at everybody else. Come on. She's the reason I'm where I am. He's the one, like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. When God said, why are you blaming the devil with it? I've tried to plug you up to joy several times and you won't plug up. I've tried to get you over to the peace vat where I could fill you up and run you over with peace, and you didn't want any of that. I've tried my best to get you over to the hope level where you could get some hope, but you didn't want any of that. Come on, somebody. Hey, we've got all of God we want. If you want more, God's got more. If you seek more, God will give you more. You have not because you ask not. There's grace to make it in the time of trouble. You see, there was a time when every one of us had no peace. When I didn't know Jesus and I didn't have God in my life, I had no peace. Romans 3:17, the way of peace have they not known. You see, I never knew anything about the peace that God could give until I met Jesus. Wow. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Luke 19:42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You see, until you know Jesus, the adversary of our souls has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. How did you get peace, Brother Jerry? Colossians 1:20. And having made peace with God through the blood of his cross. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through that redemptive work. In Ephesians 2:12. Turn to it with me. It'll bless you. That at that time, when I was lost, B.C., before Christ, I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I was a stranger from the covenant promise, having no hope without God in the world. No hope without God. Lost. But now, can somebody say, but now? But now, I was lost. I was miserable. I was condemned. I was guilty. I was convicted. I once knew not the Lord and didn't know his ways. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Listen, for he is our peace. Is Jesus your peace today? Is peace the person of the Lord Jesus in your life today? He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down that middle wall of partition that was between us, having abolished. That Greek word for abolished means taken out of the way, out of commission, no longer operative. Taken out of the way, abolished in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Jesus one new man, so making peace. Wow. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And then after he did that, he came and preached. What did he preach? Peace. He came and preached peace unto us and to them that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him, somebody say through him. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Come on, Connor, and help me quit. Not only can you experience this gift of God, which is peace through salvation, you can be kept. Has anybody in this house ever been kept? Kept. Kept, that means cared for. That means take responsibility for. If I was to, I'll say Claudette because I don't trust Don to keep it. If I was to tell Claudette, I want you to keep this right here. I want you to keep up with this and make sure you watch after it. And when I need it again and I ask you for it, I want you to have it. Keeping that would be a responsibility to take care that I always know where that is. Glory to God. Keep. Is anybody kept by the peace of God? Keep you by the peace of God. Thou wilt keep him, Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts you. Because he trusts in you. Wow, 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Now, there's a key to every bit of this peacekeeping stuff. It's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse, let's do 1. There remaineth therefore now. Now that I'm no longer an alien, no longer a stranger. Now, there remaineth therefore now no condemnation, no guilt, no remorse, no pain, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Wow. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath he made us free, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Praise God. Verse 5. Those who live, for they that are of the flesh mind the things of the flesh. If you've got the Authorized King Version, I learned a quote out of it. And they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Next verse. The mind is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and... Oh, you missed the title of my sermon. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Somebody say spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. So peace is only available to people who are spiritually minded. Come on now, somebody. You can't have peace if you're carnally minded. You can't accomplish spiritual goals by carnal means. Come on, somebody. You can't just amble into God's peace. You don't just stagger or stumble around into peace with God. Peace with God is the reward of God for being spiritually minded. Why is it so important my mind is involved in that, Pastor? Because that's where you think. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs says. So if you think the worst, then what can you expect? If you think mean things, what can you expect? If you think failure, then what can you expect? But if you're spiritually minded, then the Holy Spirit is in there running hope over, and running peace over, and running joy over. Come on, glory to God. If you're thinking on these things, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are helpful, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of God, think on these things. You know, everything that happens began with a thought. You see, what you think is very important, because a thought, once it becomes an act, it can't be undone. A thought is just a thought, but when it becomes spoken, it can't be swallowed back down. It's there. And you may say, oh, I'm sorry. But that word's been spoken. You may say, I didn't mean it. But that word's been spoken. It was first a thought, if you could have captured it right then. The Bible said, take every thought captive. Is anybody hearing this, pastor? Before it has a chance to do its damage, before it has a chance to turn into sin. Come on! As long as it's a thought, it's temptation. But when it becomes an act, it becomes sin. If you can capture it, how do I capture thoughts? Pastor, how do I capture and take captive thoughts that could bring destruction and hurt and pain? How do I do it? By being spiritually minded. Because if you're carnally minded, it'll just slip right out. Because if it's fleshly and it's serving the flesh, don't expect your flesh to object to you doing something that pleases your flesh. So you got to have something going on up here. And to be carnally minded will kill you. I'm just getting a nod. I'm not getting any amens right now. Just nods. We're going in just a minute. Just nods. Somebody nodded a minute ago and it didn't catch it. Hit their chest. And don't you love those folks that do this number right here? We're going in a minute. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want peace, you got to change the way you think. If you want peace, you got to get all that mess out of your mind. If you want peace, you got to get all that he said, she said stuff out of your mind. And it can be done. Well, Brother Jerry, I can't. Yes, you can. You're just too sorry and won't do it. You could if you wanted to. If you really are tired of not having peace, you could change. If you really were tired of it, you know the day you'll change is the day you get sick and tired of it. That's when you'll change. Not until. Am I telling the truth, Charles? You better believe it. There's a little lady sitting right here. Me and her talks all the time about what God's done in her life. Let them see that smile, Pam. When she first started coming to church here, she didn't have that smile. When she first started coming to church right here, pardon me, but she is Hades on wheels. She could move what?
Metal.
She could move metal, he said. Everybody that knew her knew, stay out of her way. In a New York minute, she said. Temper, rage, uncontrollable. She told me one Sunday morning when the first time she said, Pastor, said there's something about me that when I get to a certain place, I just lose control. Said I just come outside myself and don't even act like the person I just lose all control. But something happened that changed all that, that brought her peace. Pam, what was it?
The love of Jesus Christ.
The love of Jesus Christ. And now then she can sing that song. The mean things they say, they don't make me feel bad. I can't lose a friend that I never had. Now then she can go through things, and people come up to her now, Brother Mark, and ask her, what's happened to you? And she's got a chance to say, I met a man who gave me peace that I never knew. I met a man who took all of my emotional pain and sorrow and anger and all of those things that I had hoarded up inside me, and I emptied myself of all of that, and I let him fill me up with peace. I don't think she'd mind me telling you, her daughter was going through an ugly, ugly situation and a divorce. And she told me, she said, before harvest, Brother Jerry, said, I'd have done something bad to somebody. But she said, I went through all of that, kept my cool, went through all of that and kept a good, sweet spirit, a good, kind attitude and a kind heart. How can you just change like that, Pastor, when you get tired of being you? When you get tired of people walking to the other side of the street to dodge you? When you get tired of when you start, they say, hey, let me go. I don't want to hear no more of that. When they hang up on you, it's a good sign you need to change. Yeah, and you can have peace. God's got it. Wants you to have it. All you've got to do is ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open to you. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me, please.